New black, new black Wall Street Book Club. Evan Jefferson, brother, much love. Educating, elevating, because in knowledge is the power and we'll never give it up. Literature's for the masses. Where to put your money down and how to watch your assets. Yeah, uplifting others is a passion. My brother Evan, he will turn it into action. New Black Wall Street Book Club. You should come read with us. Yeah, we comprehend and discuss. If we all just come together, there's no limit for us. Here comes your host,
New Black Wall Street.
Evan, take it away.
New Black Wall Street Book Club.
Welcome to the New Black Wall Street Book Club, where black folk do read. If you put it in a book, we absolutely will find it. I'm your host, ERGJ, your certified financial educator, CEO of ERGJ Enterprises, ERGJ Black Bazaar, and international best-selling author of the book, The Black Billionaires Club. It's a study of black wealth. It's a study of the 12 richest black people in the world today and how they built their wealth. And I just believe that if you want to be wealthy, you should study wealthy people. We can find that book by going to the website www.theblackbillionairesclub.com, www.theblackbillionairesclub.com. You'll find that link in the description above or below. Wall Street Book Club, the difference that makes the difference. Let's read. America's black millionaires live in a world where 4 billion people are categorized as poor. Oddly, these wealth creators command little political power or means of defense. Like all capitalists innately face, government regulation or excessive taxation could seize their earnings. So why, on the planet right with famine, poverty, and disease, should this tiny minority, approximately 35,000 driven black men and women, be allowed to control riches thousands of times greater than their needs? Why should a few thousand families of color command wealth far exceeding the endowments of most third world countries? More specifically, why should Ephraim Taylor, the video game designer and youngest African-American to take a company public on Wall Street, command a net worth of $20 million? And Walter Taylor, a janitor at a local Atlanta, Georgia high school, earned less than $20,000 per year? Why should the annual compensation of American Express CEO Ken Chenault exceed $50 million, while nearly 40% of African Americans continue to navigate life only a day's march ahead of financial ruin? Why should former Time Warner CEO Richard Parsons live in a lap of luxury and manage a personal portfolio of nearly $100 million while the average household income of Black America falls below $32,000 per year? Why should Valerie Daniels Carter command a fortune in excess of $90 million while while untold thousands of homeless Black men roam from shelter to shelter in search of a warm meal and an empty cot? And why should the net worth of St. Louis-based hotel developer Michael Roberts inch closer to the billion-dollar mark while so many of his race teeter on the verge of economic collapse? Does this make sense? Does this comparison seem fair? When spread across demographics, the question is just as stark. Why should the top 1% of families own 20% of the nation's wealth while the bottom 20% are washed in debt, possess no measurable net worth at all? On a global level, the disparity is deadly. Why should even this bottom fifth of Americans be able to discard enough food to feed the continent while millions of Sudanese die of famine? And to drive the point home, why should our pets eat far better than most men and women and children who live outside our shores? The reason for this huge wealth disparity between Ephraim Taylor and Walter Taylor, between Valerie Daniels Carter and so many young unsettled black males, between Ken Chenault, Richard Parsons and Michael Roberts and the average African-American, and for the most part between the haves and the have-nots, is knowledge and commitment. Everybody put in console, knowledge and commitment. It's knowledge and commitment. What's going on, man? That's right. SWD, we rocked the house, is in the house, man. You know, I know I'm doing something right if my classmate has shown up and tuning in to New Black Wall Street Book Club. We must be doing something right up in here. The difference, knowledge and commitment. Man, you know what? I mean, there's so many things coming to me. Man, are you? I see. Here's the thing. Like, I believe, and I believe that you know that you got the knowledge. I don't question what you know. Now, certain things, obviously, you can learn some new stuff, right? I don't question your knowledge. You know the thing that I question? Your commitment. Now, I'm just gonna be honest with you. I don't question it. I mean, man, Zakiya, you know it. You got it, gosh. Miss Vivian, oh my goodness, Miss Vivian, you be soaking up knowledge like it's a slushy. I mean, Glenda Tate Williams, as much as you know, I mean, Elizabeth, for real? I don't question your knowledge. Nah, I don't question your knowledge. I question your commitment. I question your Miss Ross, as much as you know, just think about it for a second. If you were like, if you're like, Brother Evan, what you saying? Just think about it for a second. If you could put a dollar amount on all that you know, if you could put a value to all that you know, how much should you really be getting paid for all that you know? For all that you know, for however long you've been on this earth, for as much college as you've went to, elementary, high school, the many books that you've read, the stuff that you watched on TV, YouTube, university, the stuff that you learned, the skills that you've acquired, all that you know, if we were to put a dollar amount on all that you know, how much should you really be getting paid? How much should you really be bringing in to the storehouse with all that you know? So I don't question your knowledge. Now the commitment, that's a different story. Because sometimes we show up and sometimes we don't feel like showing up. Let's just keep it real up in here. Knowledge and commitment. Who succeeds financially and why? We all know some people who seem to possess an innate ability to rise above any challenge or sidestep any roadblock. Even during their most difficult moments, these men and women soar above the fray in social settings, at work, and with their finances. Some, you've seen them and wondered, what do they have that I don't? It's not okay. It's not that they were born into wealth. It's not that they caught a lucky break. It's not that they are smarter than you or me or that most had an elite education. They simply knew what they wanted. They plotted a course and arrived. Every day they thought about what was to come. Everybody put in console every day. Every day they thought about what was to come. And I'm trying my best to keep reading because this is really speaking for real. I'm trying my best. Let me keep going because I got some stuff that ready to come up out of me this morning. They simply knew what they wanted. They plotted the course and arrived every day. They thought about what was coming. They set clear goals with intention and purpose. Now, I'll tell you, one thing that really helped me with this everyday thinking was to eliminate the distractions. Now, it was some people ain't willing to sacrifice the television or the Facebook scrolling. They're not willing to sacrifice the YouTube videos so they can every day think clearly about what it is they want to accomplish so they can get their instructions from their higher power. Everybody's not willing to sacrifice the stuff that distracts them from their purpose on a day-to-day basis because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy your dream. Now, a lot of us learn this stuff in church, but yet we don't apply. Let's just keep it real. We've allowed these things that we think are minute, that we think don't really make a difference, that we think are minuscule, and it just like it's like a nagging gnat, and it just keeps pecking and keep pecking and keep pecking. Pecking. And then as soon as you begin to let it in, right, it brings more of its friends. I'm talking about everyday clear thinking about what's to come. And if I were to ask you what's to come for you, do you have a definite answer? What's to come for you? Do you have a definite answer? Now, this could be very difficult for some because they think that they're still trying to figure out their own life. And they may actually be in that space mentally. But the truth is they already have their answer. Right? They already do. They just simply must discover it. And to discover the answer, you've got to eliminate the distractions. Whatever that is for you. So am I saying that YouTube is not good? No, that's not what I'm saying. Am I saying that television is not good? No, that's not what I'm saying. Am I saying that Facebook scrolling is not good? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you know what's not good for you. You know what distracts you. You know what steals your time. You know what keeps you from clearly thinking. That's what I'm saying. Now, for me, it may be different for you. I know that if I start playing video games, right? Now, I'm not saying that playing video games is bad, but if I start playing it, I'm not going to stop for 3 days. I know that about me. So guess what? I don't play as much as I used to play. I still veer off sometimes. I say, man, I want to get that feeling again. But now I've turned my desire or my entertainment for playing video games, I've turned it into playing the stock market. So now I can feel great about playing a video game on my phone because it's making me money. And I got clear instructions to go do just that. Turn my pain into power and into profit. You know what's distracting you. Man, we got a brother Ray sighting, a brother Cyrus sighting this morning as well. Good morning to your brothers. Right, most people are not committed to change what they charge, what their value really is, because they don't have the knowledge of their own worth. So today, I want you to take some time to to identify. Everybody, put it down. So identify if you for what, because now we're talking about you getting to where you really for you getting what is to come, and you getting it efficiently versus waiting another 10 years or 5 years or 25 months. Don't you know the God that you serve, your higher power, whatever it is that you believe, don't you know he wants to give it to you right now? But he can only give to you what you are ready to receive. Let me say that again for the people in the back. He, she, whatever it is that you believe, can only give to you what you are ready to receive. Because there's some things that if they drop down on you, it's gonna mess you up. It's going to destroy you. It's going to tear you into a tailspin. That's why some people, it just don't come like that. But you're special. Yeah, that's right, you. You are special. And the world is just waiting on you to get ready. Everybody put it down, so get ready. Waiting on you to get ready so that you can receive what is to come. Every day, they thought about what was to come. Every day. They set clear goals with intention and purpose. And today, as a result, they're surrounded by people whom they care about deeply about and who return the favor. They wake up happy and go to sleep fulfilled, and they don't toss and turn over unpaid bills. Millionaires set their own wages. Millionaires set their own goals. Millionaires set their own lifestyles. Even without startup capital or influence, they reach their objectives. So what's your excuse? I don't know. They strike when the time is right, when the iron is hot. They do what is unpopular. They follow their gut when others are paralyzed by fear. They stand their ground and push hard even when the world opposes. And as far as the rules are concerned, they rewrite them. Have-nots, however, force their lifestyles to fit whatever wages they receive. They fail to call on innate talents and gifts and prowess, robbing themselves of a say in their own economic welfare. But if they wish to blame their misfortune on external circumstances, they will find small comfort in statistics compiled by those who have investigated the subject. So according to the Census Bureau data, there has never been a better time to crack the seven-figure mark. At the beginning of the 20th century, a mere 5,000 millionaires existed. Today, more than 10 million men and women have reached the coveted but not so elite status, and this number is expected to double within the next 10 years. Will you be one of them? 80% of all millionaires can be classified as first generation. In other words, these wealth creators, everybody put it down, so I'm a wealth creator. These wealth creators built their fortune with little to no capital, little to no savings, and little to no inheritance. When Martin Luther King Jr. led the Montgomery bus boycott, five black millionaires have made their mark. As of this writing, 35,000 African Americans have leaned on their faith, learned from their mistakes, and empowered themselves, as well as countless others. Although this number remains a fraction of their white counterparts, black millionaires play to win, approaching every task with a level of confidence, commitment, and creativity that few dare to display. See, when I just talked about video games, I play to win. Everybody put it down, so I play to win. I don't come just to show up. I don't come just to play the game. I play to win. The story of black millionaireship is best embodied not in theory of a writer, but in the life of a wealth creator, a story that leads from the old frontier to the new. The story that leads from the old frontier to the new. A quick word from our sponsor. Don't just buy black, decorate black. ERGJ Black Bazaar is the Afrocentric marketplace, and we specialize in urban home decor. Anything from shower sets to wall tapestries to duvet cover sets, you can decorate your entire home with original black art-inspired gifts. Check us out at www.ergjblackbazaar.com, www.ergjblackbazaar.com. ERGJ Black Bazaar, the Afrocentric marketplace. We make group economics easy. So let's read a story about a wealth creator. A wealth creator. Let me catch up on these comments, man. Y'all enjoying the broadcast so far? That's right, New Black Wall Street Book Club, right? Where black folk do read. That's right, Miss Ross is a boss. Eliminate distractions, right? Good morning to you, man. Everyday clear thinking. You already have the answer. That's right, Zakiya. You know. I know you know. She rose in the house, man. Clear instruction. Identify. Absolutely. Identify. All right. Definitely. You understand that, guy? That's right, Miss Reed. Miss Reed, this is your year, by the way. I want you to know, Aunt Viv, this is your year. I think yesterday we saw your video that came out. It was kind of late, but I watched that video. I said, and we were chuckling over here when we watched that video. I said, Aunt Viv got it. She got it. She just need to give it. You just need to give it out. You just need to give it out more. Let me tell you. Let me just say this. I had this conversation. I've been having this conversation very often with some of my clients. And I'm not gonna call them clients. I just talk to people. People just like, you know, people like to talk to me. Here's the deal. You got the goods, okay? I'm talking to everybody. You got the goods, Milt Jr. You got the goods, right? Vivian, Aunt Viv, you got the goods. Ray, you already know you got the goods. Ross is the boss, you already know. Zakiya, you already know as well. Jennifer Almanor, you already know as well. Who else is there? Y'all already know. You got the goods. Here's the deal. It's time to increase your activity, right? It's time to increase your activity. It's time for you to allow other people to see your greatness. It's time for you first to accept it that you got the goods, okay? And I understand that we might not, you know, in whatever package, whatever way you're going to display that, it's time to shine the light on your greatness. You got the goods. It's time to increase the activity so that other people can glean from, other people can grow from, other people can benefit from the light shining on you. You got the goods. It's time to increase your activity. It's time to increase your activity. It's time, in other words, it's time for you to start making some noise. It's time for you to start making some noise. And I understand it might be, you know, hey, you're going to have to ruffle some feathers. You're going to have to get out of your own way. Whatever that is, it's time for you to let your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm about to get y'all. Y'all be singing that all day. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Portrait of a wealth creator. Portrait of a wealth creator. New Black Wall Street Book Club. Let's keep reading. The wealthy share one quality, regardless of how else they may differ. Call it a sense of quiet assurance or inner resolve, but never mistake it for lack of backbone. We heard it said of the best. Everything he undertakes succeeds. Everything I touch turns to gold. Or everything he touches turns to gold. It's that low-key attitude of command. Based on self-knowledge that says, in effect, I face difficult times and I passed the test. I know who I am, so there's no need for me to impress others. By the force of character, everybody put in console force. By the force of character, this comes from what's within you. You just command it. You're not commanding. It just is commanded when you walk into a room. And the bright lights come on when you change the atmosphere wherever you are, when you put on that smile and everybody else seems to smile too. You just command it from within your spirit. You force it. It's a force of character. Such a man or woman wrings success from the most adverse circumstances. Their poise and ability increase in direct ratio to their number of accomplishments. As time goes on, they are reinforced not only by their own success, but by their associates' faith in those abilities. Earl Graves possesses this quality. Over the past 40 years, he built an empire that he runs with a personal touch. It's called Earl G. Graves Limited, and it specializes in publishing, media relations, and beverage sales. As I walked into Graves' Fifth Avenue Manhattan office, I began to size him up right off the bat. I immediately knew that I had never met anyone so focused. When you're organized, you lay claim to a special power. You walk and conduct your affairs with a sense of purpose. Your priorities are clear and in full view. You orchestrate complex events with a masterful touch. In Graves' Space's office, adorned with awards and handsomely framed pictures, I sat attentively. For the next few hours, I was utterly captivated. Graves came of age during the Civil Rights era and has dedicated most of his professional life fostering change to America's balance of wealth and power. So that any person of color can increase his or her net worth. His platform, Black Enterprise Magazine, was the first publication devoted to African-American entrepreneurs and corporate executives. Founded in 1970 with the help of a $175,000 Small Business Administration startup loan, Graves has since created a media empire that at last count earned more than $50 million in revenues. Like most African-Americans who aspire to business, Graves had few resources and far fewer Black role models to inspire him when he decided to step into a field usually reserved for the well-to-do and the well-prepared. Graves' father, a West Indian shipping clerk who plied his trade in New York City's garment district, drilled that education was the ticket to prosperity and financial independence. He constantly drove home the message, be the boss, buy it, own it, run it. Everybody put in console, be the boss. It was only natural that I would produce and market a magazine targeted to Black men and women who wanted to get ahead. If Martin Luther King Jr. was the spokesperson for civil rights and Bishop Tutu the voice for human rights, then Earl Graves, through Black Enterprise Magazine, has been a Black America's champion for economic rights. As a young entrepreneur, Graves continued, I was intrigued by the concept of tapping into the minds of the nation's most talented African Americans, business owners and professionals, providing a forum for their ideas and advice. But what Graves has really done is to influence others through his creativity and innovation, taking an idea in an industry where 9 out of 10 startups fail, molding it editorially, motivating and inspiring its audience, and launching the project in the worst business year 1970 of the past 4 decades. And further, he marketed it to reluctant advertisers. Marketing a business magazine has never been an easy task. Bruce Forbes started the bi-weekly Forbes in 1917. After a decade-long struggle, his eldest son, Henry Luce, launched Business Week and Fortune in 1930 while he was still an undergraduate at Yale. But here's a new type of magazine, said an openly excited Graves in 1970. It's black and it's about business. The time is absolutely right for black enterprise. Nearly four decades later, the magazine is still considered the source book that records the economic, political, and social ups and downs of black Americans. Wealth creation has always been Graves' focus. He reached his current status by working at his craft, perfecting his skills, and playing to his strengths. Over the years, he and the loyal cadre of employees have increased the magazine's circulation to 230,000, with a readership in excess of 2 million. What's unusual is that this occurred as the monthly magazine made the transition from closed to open circulation. We had arguably the most successful switch over in publishing history, Graves shared. We converted our readership while increasing circulation. In 1981, Black Enterprise went newsstand and added to its already impressive growth. The idea of change, particularly the type of change that the world of enterprise can generate, turns Graves on. It permeates his being. It's what fuels the man, what drives him and his staff. Ironically, what he is trying to change is the only idea that slows him down, the notion of being black in the economic world. Graves is masterfully using his voice to seek nothing less than a revolution thought throughout the marketplace to prove that blacks are just as capable of generating wealth as any other group. Oh, ooh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. I'm going to stop. Oh, I'm going to do one more, guys. I'm going to do one more. It's a little bit longer than normal, but I want to keep going, okay? I'll do one more section. I thought this was going to keep going. Let's do one more. Next section, guys, here. So we're talking about Earl Graves, man, CEO or founder of Black Enterprise. Sometimes you just got to keep going. So this is when preparation meets opportunity. When preparation meets opportunity. This will be our last little section here. It's real short. New Black Wall Street Book Club. Let's keep reading. After graduating from college, Graves entered the Army in 1958. The only options open for blacks were to teach, join the civil service, or the Army. The military was just what he needed. There he developed a talent for organization. He learned to lead, delegate, and plan with authority. Although he made captain ahead of schedule, the military was clearly not the career he coveted. He dreamed of running his own ship. Gradually, an idea took shape. When his tour was up, Graves returned to New York and dabbled in real estate. In his first 3 months, he sold 9 houses, enough to pay for a wedding and furnish a modest apartment. In 1965, he went to work for the Justice Department, a job that eventually led to an assignment with Robert Kennedy, then a New York senator. Graves' official title was administrative assistant responsible for monitoring various economic programs and special events. Working for Kennedy, Graves admitted, played an enormous part in my personal development. Robert Kennedy was a man totally unfamiliar with failure. I joined Kennedy's staff as an administrative assistant. I was now working for an icon for a family of icons. Kennedy's world was filled with a steady stream of power brokers, elite athletes, and other celebrities. As one of his aides, his world of power and privilege became accessible to me. In turn, I shared my world, Brooklyn, and the voters that other politicians had often ignored. When he announced his presidential candidacy in 1968, we were all optimistic that his dedication to civil rights and social justice would change the country. For 3 years, Graves was on the Kennedy fast track as the senator seemed destined to become president. But his plans were shattered when Kennedy was cut down by an assassin's bullet. Graves lost a dear friend and mentor, and he was out of work with a wife and 3 small children to care for. Stunned by these circumstances, Graves lost his way. He tried his hand in real estate again, hoping for the same thrill that Kennedy provided, but it didn't measure up. Several Fortune 500 companies came calling, and some even offered a position or two, but he declined. Almost as a diversion, he started a consulting firm, mainly as an excuse to give himself more time to ponder his next step. But with his meager savings, time was a precious commodity. Fortunately, as a Kennedy staffer, I was marked as a candidate who was highly employable. I was offered both a job with IBM and Ford Foundation Fellowship. Those were IBM's Halcyon days. I think that's like, that's a big word. Oh Lord, that's a big word. Halcyon. Halcyon. Whew, Lord. I don't know every word in the dictionary, okay? those were IBM's Halcyon days. And a job there would have been a steady meal ticket. But to me, it sounded like fixed income. Wow. I didn't want any limitations on what I thought I could earn. I wanted to be my own boss. So I accepted the Ford Fellowship, essentially a work study grant, contemplating a career as a consultant to Black business people. I studied entrepreneurship and economic development in Barbados, home to my grandparents. When I returned, I set out to advise business on tapping an emerging Black market. Graves dove headfirst into his research. He immediately began to draw comparisons between what he saw abroad and what existed at home within America's Black communities. Even though the results were disheartening, he knew he could make an impact. There was no medium for Blacks, he recalls, to learn the success and failures of those who had gone before. Gray started piecing together a business plan and assembled a team of advisors to help push his idea forward. The result, a board of advisors that read like a who's who in politics and business. Senator Edward W. Brooks of Massachusetts, Julian Bond, House Representative of Georgia, and William Huggins, a former president of Freedom National Bank. Here was an august group of prestigious Blacks who saw a need to further Black economic development. By lending their names, they helped convince corporate America that Black enterprise was worth a second look. Black enterprise was worth a second look. When preparation meets opportunity. Now, I say that's the definition of luck. When preparation meets opportunity. And you know what? You know what I get from that? The question I want to ask you, are you prepared? So I'll tell you what I'm doing first quarter of this year with my businesses. I'm making sure that I'm prepared. Now, what does that mean, right? So last year, I had a huge contract that came through, one of my biggest for my e-commerce business. It was a $20,000 contract, right? And I tell you, I was not prepared for that $20,000. But I learned what I needed to do in order to be prepared for the $100,000 contract. And that's what I'm working on now. I'm not pushing sales as much as I am structure so that I'm prepared for the big money. That was chump change. I mean, it was big to me, but it was chump change in the grand scheme of things. And I'm blessed to have received it. I'm blessed to have gone through that experience to realize I'm not really prepared. My business isn't really prepared for a $100,000 check. Are you? So I'm making sure that I'm prepared so that when opportunity does come around again and again, it will come, right? It'll be like clockwork. I just keep coming in and keep coming in. They keep bringing it in and bringing it in and bringing it in. So my question to you, as you think about your trajectory, as you think about your goals, your dreams, your desires, things that you want to accomplish, are you prepared for opportunity? And that's a serious question for you to consider, because it's easy to say yes. It's easy to say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm telling you, I thought I was ready. And I was ready. I handled it. We took care of it. All that good stuff. Are you prepared? In the comments below, I'd like for you to share something that you learned today, your takeaway from today. A lot of great stuff here today on the New Black Wall Street Book Club from the book, The Wealth Choice. Right? I don't do this just to do this. I do this to make a difference. And hopefully we made a difference in your life today. I'm just simply asking you to answer this question in the comments below. Was this worth your time and why? Was this worth your time and why? Reading Rainbow 2.0, The Wealth Choice. Right? We've got some wealth creators up in the house. That's right, Brother Milt Jr. That's right. Just command it from within. Absolutely the force of character. Let it shine. That's what I'm talking about. No, not Earl Grey teas. That's something different. Be organized, right? The boss. Right? Keep going. Okay, that's right. Be prepared. Stay ready. You ain't got to get ready, right? Stay ready. You ain't got to get ready. That's right. That's right. What's going on, Ms. Martin? Man, I meet the opportunity to be my own business. I hear that. You love fish. That. This is a different house, Yon. I think be prepared for opportunities, man. I need to be and stay prepared. Obviously, that's right. I always get a warning for what's to come. Prepared. Preparation is key, right? It was worth my time to know about wealth. Absolutely. Get rid of my distractions. Absolutely. Get rid of your distraction. Cast them anchors away. Be well prepared. Bob, always valuable. Thank you for your time. This, my beautiful people, is the New Black Wall Street Book Club, where black folk do read 30 minutes a day to keep broke and stupid away. I'm your CRGJ, Certified Financial Educator, and I want you guys to remember this. That it takes a village. It starts with us. Let's build as we climb together. We all we got, beautiful people. Matter of fact, we all we need. And thank God, that's more than enough. Till next episode, you know what time it is. Mr. DJ, hit the music.
The New Black Wall Street. Thanks you for joining the show. We gave a lot of great tips, but it's time to go. Take the knowledge we shared, hope you use it and grow. We will see you all there at the next episode of The New Black Wall Street. The New Black Wall Street.
This is the New Black Wall Street Book Club, where black folk do read. If you put in a book, we absolutely will find it. And I'm your host, ERGJ, your Certified Financial Educator, and we invite you to join the Black Billionaires Club. Get connected with brothers and sisters who are serious about winning with money, serious about success, and super serious about helping you to accomplish your goals and to build your dreams. Check out the website at www.theblackbillionairesclub.com, www.theblackbillionairesclub.com. You can find that link in the description above or below. Make a decision to change the rest of your life. We'd ask that you would subscribe and support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help us sustain future episodes, to improve financial literacy within our community, and ultimately to help us to build the School of Wealth, to build an institution that will teach the next generation about money, and your small monthly contribution can make all the difference. Well, we want to say thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the New Black Wall Street Book Club. And we want you to remember this, that it takes a village, and it starts with us. Let's build as we climb together. We all we got, people, and thank God that that's more than enough. Until next episode, you know what time it is. Mr. DJ, hit the music.
New black. It's the New Black Wall Street Book Club. Wall Street. With your host, Evan Jefferson. It's time for us to go.
Yeah.
Now, you ain't got to leave the computer, but we encourage you to get out there and learn and apply all the things you learn at the New Black Wall Street. Book club. Yeah.
The New Black Wall Street. The New Black Wall Street.